chapter 12, verses 18 to 29 will be today's main text. Having received an unshakable kingdom, this title will conceptualize today's teaching and will lead us into the scriptures. We will share the word today. Thereof, the book of Hebrews was sent to the Hebrews at the time they were under the constant threat of persecution and suffering and subjected to harshest persecutions. And because of it, they had to lead a cloistered life in the catacomb. And upon being found, they were thrown into the lion's den, being eaten by the lions and being thrown into the burning cauldrons. But there were some that wanted to revert back to the Judaism, but there were others that maintained their faith. And to those who maintained the faith, it consoles us in today's teaching and encourages us. But to those who were shaken and that abandoned the faith in today's teaching, they are being harshly rebuked that they could be extinguished from earth. Concomitant to that, the old covenant and the new covenant, the two new covenants, God juxtaposes the two and gives us the comparative analysis and how great the new covenant is and teaches us under thereof. Firstly, from 18 to 19 verses, the old covenant, when it was recorded and promised, verse 18, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. The Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians in bondage. They led a life, but they were uplifted and saved by God through Moses. And they marched through the desert upon receiving God's promise. And they, upon 3 months after, they reached the Mount Sinai, and the God's covenant was declared to them. And he specially chooses the Israelites as his own elects. At the time, the Israelites, now that they have been chosen by God, they had to lead a life according to God's teachings and the commandments. At the Mount Sinai, when the covenant was declared to them, it was as if the sound of trumpets were reverberating, all-encompassing, and the sounds of trumpets and the smokes, the all-consuming fire, was all-encompassing. Something to the effect it writes to us. Before God, they were in fear. And when God speaks, it felt as if they were about to die upon hearing the words of God. They were in such great fear that they wished God to stop speaking directly to them. They yearned for God to speak through Moses, as they were in great fear of God. They were in fear and trembled in fear and couldn't intimate with God because of this great fear. And in reality, when they approached God, they would die. And with the exception of Moses, no one could approach God atop the mountain of Mount Sinai, verse 20 and 21, because they could not bear what was commanded. if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Holy God, not only people, but even to the animals, this command was extended, and it was a stringent commandment that cannot be disobeyed. Upon disobeying, had to face death from the sin of Adam. The sins were inherited to all mankind, and this was extended to the animals even. And upon approaching God with the sin, would die instantaneously before the Holy God. Light sin, heavy sin, there's no distinction. They are all sins. All face death was the result. Representative of this, the people, Moses, it was the same case for Moses. He too was in great fear of God. In this life, he was one of the elect that was deemed as the most holy by God. Even he was in great fear. The old covenant was promised atop Mount Sinai. All were trembling in fear without exception. The Israelites, the fear derived from not the burning fire, but it was owed to the consuming fire. God does not compromise with any sins, and with all sins, he judges with the consuming fire. All mankind born of sins couldn't approach God in any shape or form. However, in the new covenant, a new narrative is unfolding. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. The old covenant was declared to us on Mount Sinai, on Mount Zion. Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the city of the living God. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. Jesus Christ, our mediator of the new covenant. But you have come to Mount Zion. This excerpt, if you are to literally interpret this, you have come near to God. He was someone that you could not intimate with. All trembled in great fear. He was all-consuming fire to us. This is why he judges harshly upon sins, and before him, no sins could stand firmly. He could not be intimidated from the sinners. But he said to the elect, you can approach me. From the new covenant, now we can be intimate with God and approach God closely. In faith, this is a new grace that was endowed upon all of us. The precious blood that was sacrificed on the cross, and therefrom now the new path of life has been opened up to us. From the faith that is lied in Jesus Christ, a new covenant was declared, and thereon all sins were absolved, and the new path to the new life as the new creatures can be forged. Verse 23, let us read together. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. The firstborns that are congregated in heaven, the firstborns are the ones who inherit the heavenly kingdom. That's who they are, the firstborns. It is the birthright. Jacob and Esau, they fought over the birthright for the inheritance. Esau was born first, but he did not deem it preciously. He trivialized it and undermined it, and he bartered away for a single meal. He himself, he thought that he could be under the impression that he sold it, he had the will to sell it, but in reality, it was robbed away from him, taken away from him, God. But on the other hand, Jacob esteemed it so preciously, and he wanted it, he coveted this, and he yearned for it, and God saw his faith and acknowledged it. And yes, it is true that through chicanery and contrivance, he stole the birthright, and there was a punishment. But he yearned, and there was faith. And because of the faith, he was granted with the inheritance of God, the firstborns that are convening up in heaven. In faith, they are inheriting the heavenly kingdom. This is what the meaning of firstborn is today. Let us be the firstborns, and we are the eternal firstborns of the heavenly kingdom. It's not from the carrying out the commandments and the laws and our merits and toils and our good Samaritan work, only due to the grace and through Jesus Christ, the intercessor of us, and through this faith. Only those who have faith in this can be the inheritors of the heavenly kingdom and be the firstborns. And the congregation of the firstborns, the microcosm of this is the church. We are here at the church, the earthly church. It is a microcosm, a shape of the heavenly kingdom, the real kingdom. The church congregation is up in heaven. We are right now. We have been summoned to the church by God. This is an infinitely great grace that has been conferred to us. But what is really of importance is, the paramount importance is that we have to be summoned by God up to heaven. How can you go into heaven? Through the faith of Jesus Christ, you can be ushered into heaven, the earthly churches. Without faith, you can be present. The earthly churches, you have authentic, you have the fake, you have lambs and you have goats. Mixture of all types. You have true devotees and false devotees. They are all congregated. Without faith, you can be present inside the church. However, the heavenly church up in heaven, without faith, you cannot enter and be part of the congregation. Only through faith you can enter into the heavenly kingdom. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ was the intercessor who sacrificed his precious blood on the cross to allow us to enter into the gates of heaven, and that he has allowed us to become the heirs of the heavenly kingdom? Do you believe in this sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ? And in this faith, you can be guided into the heavenly kingdom and arrive at the heavenly church. Verse 24, let us read together. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Amen. God, he is the judge of all. At Mount Sinai, no one could approach him. Regarding his sins, he was an all-consuming fire, and no sinners could dare to approach him. But the intercessor, the new mediator of the new covenant, Jesus Christ, from his precious sacrificial blood, now we can approach God and open up a new life as the new creatures, as the saved people. Jesus Christ, in his embrace, you can be emboldened to approach God now. Only Jesus Christ, the one and only, the intercessor. Through him, you can enter the city of heavenly kingdom, who inherits the new Jerusalem. Therefore, the scribe of the Hebrews tells us three messages as the result. Firstly, the city of God, we have inherited this. Hence, we must not disobey the commandments. To see verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Through Moses, the admonishments were given to us, the commandments, who refused this and rejected the command or the admonishments. They couldn't approach God and Jesus Christ. One who refuses Jesus, the punishment will be much harsher than the ones that had refused the words from the Old Testament. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. On Mount Sinai, when God gave us the commandments, only earth shook. But at the end of the days, when the sinners faced judgment, not only earth, but the heaven too will shake. It will reverberate then with the exception of the heavenly kingdom, all will be extinguished away from the consuming fire, and all will resonate from it. And the stars in the sky fell to earth, as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Revelations. The sky, the stars, the earthly soil, they will all disappear from God's judgment. Those who rejected and refused God's words and the commandments. No one will remain. Something to that effect, it says. Those who refused and rejected God, you cannot escape. Only in Jesus Christ you can obey the judgment and enter into the heavenly kingdom, the city of God. Hence, we cannot reject the word and the grace and the good news. Let us unify upon the word and receive it together. And secondly, be grateful. It tells us to be grateful. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be graced and received. In English, it says, let us be thankful. Let us be grateful. Mount Zion, the eternal city of God, can only be received from grace. You cannot receive it by comporting to the laws or commandments or through your achievements and your merits and toils, only through the intercessor Jesus Christ, and through his grace you can become the heirs of the city of God. The grace that we are receiving, you have to be grateful invariably at all times, but some are not thankful of this. The grace is the most precious, and we are not deserving of it. We are sinners. But without required action, he gives it to us. It is the most precious without compensation, he confers it upon us, but you take it as if it's something that you receive automatically. Take advantage of this grace. But if you are not grateful of the grace, you will destruct the Israelites who marched the wilderness for 40 years. They destructed. Why did they destruct? Some of them, because they were idolaters. They worshiped false idols. And lewdness was the second. And third was they disobeyed God. And fourth was they were ungrateful, not thankful of the grace. And that's why they destructed through the mouths of people that are not grateful. Only resentment comes out. And as they resent God, they destruct. Jesus, upon entering a certain town, there were 10 lepers who approached Jesus and pleaded, supplicated to Jesus, "You need to be healed. Please have mercy upon us." They said to Jesus, the lepers, they were uplifted from the afflictions of the leprosy. And Jesus had healed them. He took mercy upon them, pitied them. They were fully cured of it. The uncleanness was cleansed away by Jesus. All 10 lepers received the cleanliness of the cure. However, only one person, upon being healed by Jesus, approached Jesus and expressed his gratitude. All 10 were cured, and Jesus has said to him, "Where are the others that were healed by me?" Something to the effect, he says, and to those who are not grateful, he says unto them, to the one who approached him from the cure, "From the faith you have been uplifted from the sickness." One person that approached him with gratitude, he was the saved one. The other 9 lepers that were healed, they had experienced the miracles of the Jesus's cure, but they did not receive the eternal redemption. Only the one that approached Jesus with gratitude received the salvation. One who believes are grateful always. Grateful for the faith and for the redemption. They cannot be redeemed. They will destruct. Book of Ephesians, it records it like this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It's not from the actions of humans, it is from the gift of God. The salvation that we have received has been arbitrarily conferred upon us by God. It's not from your merits or your labor, your achievements. It had nothing to do with what you have done or what you are. Hence, you cannot boast about the grace that you have received. Only Jesus Christ. All you should do, all to do, is be grateful for the grace. We must be grateful. Let us be thankful. Let us habituate our minds into being always thankful at all things, consciously, be cognizant of the great grace that he has given us. If you resent, the moment you resent, that leads to destruction. You worship, you do volunteer work, and you carry out the missions that you've been assigned with. You do all of this. But if it's accompanied by resentment, you do all that you are supposed to do within the church. But if you're resentful, all becomes ineffectual, the good works that you do. Let us not be resentful and be thankful at all times and habituate ourselves into being thankful at all things. Believe in the authority of God and that it is God's plan, and exclaim your gratitude to him. Be thankful of the grace. Yesterday, be grateful. Today, tomorrow. And praise God at all times. the new intercessor. Be grateful that we have heard the word through Jesus Christ, and be thankful for this, and be thankful that we have been ushered into the Fuji's Art Church, and good people have been assigned to us, accompanying us in this life of faith. Be thankful for this. All things transpiring within the family, the country, all affairs, human affairs that's transpiring, even the hardships, humbly be thankful. And most importantly, the City of God, the Eternal Heavenly Kingdom, be thankful for this. Lastly, verse 28, it reads, let us happily worship God. He has given us an unshakable heavenly kingdom, hence be thankful. Hence, you must oblige fully and acceptably posture yourselves in faith. Does God accept all of our postures of faith? Does he accept all of our worships? There are some worships that he does not accept. Abel was accepted by God, his worship, but Cain was not accepted. The worship that he carried out, he was not accepted. Hence, let us have a worship that God accepts and that he can be pleased by. How can you worship him so that he will be pleased? 28, it reads, you have to have reverential fear. In fear and trembling, together you have to worship God in reverence and awe, and of your own volition, fully obliged to God. He has given us the unshakable City of God. Hence, being centered by this, think about how you can please him, how I can worship him, and maximize my worship so that he will be pleased. The upright sacrificial posture of worship, be centered by this and try to do this and be cognizant of God, who he is at all times. In verse 29, who is he? For our God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. Regarding sins, to the impious, to the unrighteous, he will judge. In this context, consuming fire equates to judgment, God's judgment. Without omission, he will extinguish you away from the consuming fire. He will adjudicate upon all sinners, invariably. He is the love of God, of course. And regarding our feebleness, our weaknesses, he accepts and he extends forgiveness. He is the love. And this is exhibited by the sacrificial blood that Jesus had shed on the cross. He is love. This is correct. However, at the same time, he also exhibits his judgment, his righteous judgment, without exception. All will face his judgment and his wrath. Even the Son, he was the righteous and just God. Hence, he meets out the right punishment to all. He will consume it with his consuming fire, and be mindful of this. And fear sinning. Always be in fear of God and revere him. And in this, being centered by this, you can have the right worship for God that pleases him. In the new intercessor, Jesus Christ, when you are embraced by him, we have inherited the eternal city of God. Let us not reject and refuse the word. Let us believe in Jesus Christ. Do not be resentful and spiteful, but always be grateful. Let this be our mental and physical constitution, and profess this and exclaim this, and always declare this, and always worship to our thankful God. Let us pray.